Saw some stuff.
I would pay you like at least $10 during the Q&A session to go and ask a question about vampire diarrheas.
God damn it. Dumbest.
They announced.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com, and this is a mini-sode.
Mini-sode!
That we're going to try to put all together for you for Comic-Con. This is Matt.
And I'm Ash.
And he's drinking Mountain Dew. right when I said it.
I was like, oh, shit. I better swallow this.
But yeah, we are in San Diego. We're at the lovely Hotel Indigo.
It's nice. This is our first time at the Indigo.
It's very nice. It's a little ways off the con, but I've found benefits to that because we can eat food relatively easily, and really the only hard part is trekking from the con here, and even that's only like 5 blocks. It's not really that big of a deal.
It is different. We're overlooking Petco Park right now as we're recording.
It's kind
this
of an awesome view though.
It is. It's pretty gorgeous. It's fucking hot this year though, man. This is the hottest year I think ever.
Yeah, it's super. It's supposed to be 93 today.
There was a year that I came with it was the one of the worst years, but I think there was like 7 guys that came. We all shared
one
hotel
room.
Didn't
you sleep on the floor at one or sleep outside at one point?
That was the first year I slept outside because we didn't book a hotel for the last night. I was like 19.
Yeah, I know.
But the year that was also that year was hot, the year with all the guys. And I remember my buddy Micah, who's now a doctor, came and got really bad, like what we call sizzle crotch.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just got chafing. He's like, I didn't know I'd have to walk so far. But
pro,
yeah.
You want a pro tip?
Yeah, pro tip.
Gold Bond.
Oh, yeah?
Not only does the powder help, but they have these little, like, they look like deodorant sticks. You can
just
rub
like
around
rub
down
them
there.
Rub them on your junk?
And a little below the junk, like thigh, or, you know, where the hairy thigh mess happens.
Gotcha.
And you'll feel good all day long. Helps with that chafing.
Yeah.
Let's do the rundown.
So this is, we're going to talk about ball sweat this whole
episode.
The whole episode. No, but it's cool. I mean, this is, you know, Matt and I have been coming to Comic-Con together for a long time now, and we're going to be having all sorts of fun, exclusive stuff, and we're also going to be talking about, you know, everything that we do on a daily basis, so we're going to do a little breakdowns. This is going to be mainly preview night and Thursday, so what we did on preview night and Thursday. So let's talk quickly about preview night.
We only went for, I mean, should we,
you brought your
little one.
Yeah, man. I came with a 11-week-old child to Comic-Con.
Honestly, it's working out okay right now.
He's doing pretty well.
He's doing great.
Obviously very terrified to do it. But, you know, we talked to a bunch of doctors and a bunch of smart people about the process of bringing an infant all the way across the country. And we listened to a lot of advice, and all the advice paid off, and it's been really good. He did good on the plane, and
he slept super hard yesterday.
Yeah.
But so I brought that up because we split the time. Usually we'd be on preview night with the ladies, but we split time this year, and Ash and I went down for about an hour. It was sort of packed. It was a little busy.
We keep
noticing that preview night seems to get a little busier every year.
Yeah, I don't know if they're overselling it or what the deal is, but it's it was hard to move around. And preview night, really, like, I'm not much of a collector anymore, and that's really all that it's for.
Yeah.
So for those that don't really know and are just, you know, learning about Comic-Con preview night, they open up the con for about 3 hours on Wednesday night before the con starts, so 6 to 9.
Just the exhibition floor.
Right, and you get to walk along the floor and see all the fun stuff, and you know, and you also get to buy the exclusives, and that's what people go absolutely
berserk, and they're all
for.
Like super long lines. The process to get those exclusives is insane. It's usually like pre-ticketed that you have to get and then stand in another line to actually pick it up. So we didn't do any of that. We just kind of got the lay of the land and walked around the floor to see what's what. And, I mean, it was fun. I think we both walked away feeling like, man, the floor feel. I don't know if it's just because we've been too much now. Like, if we've hit the peak Comic-Con amount. But it's starting to feel a little samey-sames at times.
Well, I understand why all the booths are in the same place every year.
But they are in the exact same place.
We've been going to this for a long time. And, like, you're like, oh, here's fucking Hasbro. Here's, you know, Marvel. Here's
Nickelodeon.
So everything's in the same place. Obviously, the stuff there is new. But also, yeah, but also, like, we pay attention to this stuff on a daily basis. So yeah. We're always, like, seeing what's up with Marvel and what's up with DC. And
Marvel had some cool stuff at their booth. They've got a big giant, they've got the statue that's going to Brooklyn, I believe, the bronze. Do you know this? I meant to talk about it on the podcast. So Brooklyn's getting a Captain America bronze
statue.
That's
wonderful.
In Prospect Park
that's
is where they're putting it.
I think that's great.
And it's here right now, so if you're here, you can see it.
How big is the statue?
Like 8-10 foot, probably.
Wow.
Well, actually, no, his hand's up. It's on our Instagram, / nerd appropriate. But his hand's up with a shield, so it's probably like 12-14 foot.
That's awesome.
But so that was here at Marvel's thing. They had a bunch of other stuff. They're running a bunch of previews for Doctor Strange and Luke Cage and all that. And they teased Iron Fist and Defenders. Did you see that?
I saw the Defenders teaser with Nirvana in the background, and I got chills this morning when I watched it.
No footage. Well, they're not shooting anything. New Luke Cage trailer that has ODB in the background. Pulling
so
the music,
good.
Man. But yeah, what else? Nickelodeon's was pretty cool. There's Legend of the Hidden Temple at theirs and like the Double Dare Nose. And
They're
doing like kind of a throwback booth this year. Last year it was all their cartoons, and this year it's kind of like nostalgia packed.
Right. And they also, if you want to do this, I only did this one year, but a lot of times they do like Trailer Park where they just show a bunch of trailers, and now they're doing like pilots. They're showing a bunch of unaired pilots.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to sit down and preview night and watch, like I think they showed like the new Archie show, Riverdale, and a couple things that really no one's ever seen. So they'll do that on Wednesday night as well. Unfortunately, we didn't go to see that just because you need to have 4 hours. And we just didn't have the time. But so good stuff. Preview night's fun. It's cool to see everything, and it's nice to. But as you get older, it's like holy shit. There's a sea of people. I kind of want to take a nap.
Yeah. I ended up. We got back at like 7:30, and I basically just sat in my hotel room, ate snacks, and watched TV for a couple
hours.
That's
pretty much. Unfortunately, I watched the Republican National Convention.
Oh, I've avoided it entirely. Yeah. Let's continue
to
avoid it.
That's okay. That's good. So let's talk a little bit about what we did yesterday, because we split up for most of the day. I ran into you about halfway through the day, and we ran
around.
And
then we split up again.
And we split up again. So what did you start off the day with? What was your morning?
Nothing.
Like, nothing? You did nothing in the morning?
I got a delicious avocado toast with coffee.
Nice.
And then I went to the floor. I did a trick that I learned a few years ago to keep me from... I don't get super anxiety or anything, but sometimes the floor can just be a lot. And first thing in the morning, it can kind of overload you and then burn you out for the day. So I have a little trick I do, which is I put in my headphones. It's a New York trick that I have. When it's crowded, you put in your headphones and kind of put on a record you like, and then you can walk around and not feel so overwhelmed. It kind of keeps you in your little space.
That's smart.
Of.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it works. It's nice. I listen to the new Descendants
and I'm jealous.
My
I haven't
friend
even
Claire
heard
Morgan's
it
record. Oh, it's so good. So I walked around the floor a little bit, looking to see if I was going to pick anything up. Kind of same thing. I took some more pictures. Got a couple of shots of some cosplay that were really good. And then kind of just laid low at the Hilton for a little bit until the first panel I went to, which was at 4.
Hey.
And I went to see Silicon Valley, which is one of my favorite shows on TV.
Awesome.
It's on HBO following Game...
I think it's after... It used to be on after Game of
Thrones.
Thorns. Yeah, that show.
Whatever that show is. The little show... This big one follows. I think it brings the audience. But no, it was packed out, barely got in. It was absolute insanity. It's one of those panels where there's 4 comedians on it, 2 of which are like professional improv comedians and do nothing but make shit up all day long. And when the moderator's not super strong, it just goes absolutely... Like, the moderator just stood there in silence.
Just gave up.
And, like, they were just riffing. And then to the point where Thomas Middleditch would be like, maybe we should move on to the next question. Like, he was, like, calling out for questions because the moderator was just standing there. Mike Judge was there, as well as Alec Berg, who created the show. It was fun to hear them kind of talk about some stuff. But you could tell it was one of those, like, A, I think this is their first panel ever. And B... they're like, they said it a couple times, like they're in the middle of writing season 4. And so like talking about season 3 and 2 is difficult because they're just like, I don't know, our brains are blown by how much writing we're doing for season 4.
Yeah.
So it was really like every time they'd ask a question, like, what was your favorite episode from season three? The moderator's questions were terrible. And it was like, what was your favorite moment from season three? And they were like, and then like, no, no one would answer. And finally, Zach Woods, who plays Jared, or Thomas Middleditch, who plays Richard, would like say something. And then Kamail would just crack a joke at their expense. And like, it was really, really funny and entertaining.
They're a really super talented group of guys.
Yeah.
They really are. I don't know why I have not watched that show yet. I really need to get on it.
It's hilarious, man. You'll tear right through. They're only half hour episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I did that and then met up with Melissa. Well, first I had to go pick up I got a free shirt for the panel. And
nice.
They moved the merch redemption room around, and I basically just toured San Diego for like 45 minutes trying to find. There was a group of like, no exaggeration, 500 of us who came out of that panel to go pick up our free shirt, and we were all just wandering. Like, we went
to
the Marriott because
no
one knew where it was. We went to the Marriott, walked around, and we went to the Hyatt, whatever. Anyways, then I met up with Melissa, and we went and saw the Drunk History panel.
Oh, good.
From Comedy Central. Another really funny one with a bunch of comedians on it. They showed a whole unfinished piece that they're doing for next season, which was the story of Devil's Island. And I forget the guy's name. It's a really little known story, but it was really funny. The whole panel was really hilarious. And then, yeah, we went to... Oh, cute dog. And yeah. Then we went to... yeah, we did other stuff that night, but we'll get into that after. So what did you see for the day? You did a lot more than I did.
I did run around a lot. It was weird. I did a lot of things, but I feel like I didn't really accomplish that much. Like, I went to see, I tried to do some gaming stuff, because there's actually not a lot of gaming stuff this year.
Not too much, no.
They used to have a big Microsoft, and it used to have a huge section.
They do the Marriott, right?
In the Marriott, yeah. And that's gone this year, so I feel like a lot of the gaming stuff's been... really toned down and scaled back. But I went to see the panel for Sea of Thieves really early. And Sea of Thieves is the new pirate simulator from Rare. And I wanted to kind of, you know, see what new stuff they were showing off there. And you know, it was cool. It was, you know, it's hard for me now, having worked in games, to go to games panels, because I realize that everything is controlled by the man. So they can't really show you stuff. And I was talking to you about this yesterday, Matt, that, you know, like, developers will kind of get the go-ahead, like, okay, you can show off a couple new screenshots or maybe a new feature, but that's it
right.
for this panel. So unless you are paying really close attention to what is going on with this particular title, I have no idea what screenshots have been released.
Right.
So if they show me like five new screenshots of like new masts and stuff and like new ship designs, I'm not going to know if that's been released before.
Right.
So I wasn't like blown away by what I saw with Sea of Thieves, but I thought it looked really cool. I still love the idea of running around with a crew and, you know, going on adventures.
You guys talked about this post E3, right? Is that what
yeah,
got announced?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it still looks gorgeous. It has this very kind of Disney Pixar feel. They did show off, you know, the ability to manipulate weather and kind of the ability to modify your ships and really kind of make the game your own, which looks really neat. And everything like looked and sounded really polished. So
awesome.
I think the game's coming along well. I don't really know when it's scheduled for release. That's probably out there. But
2019.
Probably. So Sea of Thieves was cool. After that, I kind of wandered around. I went on the floor for a bit, did a quick run up and down, took some pictures of some cosplay and stuff, and didn't see anything too new or too exciting there. And then I ended up going to the Geek and Sundry panel, which was at the Indigo.
Yeah.
And they always put on a good show. It was Felicia Day, Ryan Day, who else was there? Oh, Matt Mercer, Mercer Ray. So they had some really a good lineup of folks. And I always find that these panels, the Geek and Sundry panels, are pretty inspirational. Like, they always take Q&A from people.
Yeah.
And give great advice on just how to do your own thing and to not give up. And a lot of them talked about how many failures they all had in life. And Matt Mercer told a really good story about how he, you know, basically – Critical Role would have never happened, and Critical Role is becoming like more and more popular on a daily basis.
Huge.
But he was talking about how it never would have happened unless he would have taken this one project that was, you know, he knew it was doomed for failure, but he just kind of wanted to try something new. And he ended up meeting with a group of people and ended up, you know, kind of paving the way for Critical Role. And all of them talked about, you know, how they just were doing things in life that they didn't really like and ended up transitioning into doing something that they loved. So it was good. You know, it's nice. My favorite part about panels isn't when they're trying to sell me shit.
Right.
It's when they're actually talking about their process or being creative or,
right.
or you know, feeling accomplished in what they're doing. So Geek & Sundry pulled that off. And I felt like that was probably one of the highlights of the day, is just watching them talk. And that was packed, man. It was the Indigo Ballroom and the standing room only. So
yeah.
They did a really good job there. What else did I see?
You know what I haven't heard about in a while? Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. I went to an Overwatch panel.
Hold on. Let me get my phone out so I can start tweeting.
Start tweeting. So I went to the Overwatch panel. It was last evening. And, you know, it was cool. I think it was cool because it was nice to be in a room with so much energy and so much enthusiasm for this game. And also it was cool to see a little bit of their creative process. They were talking about the creation of the new hero, Ana, who just came out last week, and a little bit about her backstory. And Overwatch is one of those games that it's a shooter, and it's a competitive shooter, but what Blizzard does and their whole mantra is they don't create games, they create worlds. And so everything about this character, she has such an in-depth backstory.
Right.
And all of that is coming out in you know, graphic novels and in like little teaser
shorts. They're doing like vignette shorts, right? Yeah.
And so it's neat. It was neat to hear them talk about how much went into designing her. So for instance,
like how to give depth to what is otherwise a shooter with not really a lot of story,
like,
happening.
How do you get people excited about this world that you're creating when it's not just shooting, right? And the short version is, you know, she lost her eye, so they wanted to make her stand differently because she had to use her non-dominant eye with a scope. So they remodeled the character so she's always using her left eye instead of her right eye. And so she stands differently than the other sniper. So at a distance, you can kind of see which sniper is which based on their stance.
Right.
So really just brilliant from a design perspective. So they kind of weave the lore in with the game mechanics. And it was cool. I mean, they talked a lot about what's coming up in the future and how, you know, there's definitely more to come. They're going to be releasing.
Let's do 20 minutes on it. Go.
Let's do it. And then she stands like this and holds her gun like this.
No, I meant the future. What's happening
the
in the
future?
No,
they actually, to be honest, they didn't really talk too much about the future.
Yeah.
They, you know, they said that there's more animated shorts coming. There's more characters coming in the future. And obviously, you know, the popularity of the game, they're going to have no shortage of
and
fun,
the characters are always free, right? Is that the
They're
deal?
Always free. That's
just
their
free
their whole,
characters.
Yep. And, you
so
know,
you buy the game, you get all the updates.
Get everything, yeah. So it's $40, Matt. You should do it. It's worth it.
All right. $40 plus $400 for a graphics card.
That's true, yeah. and then I went to CBS and did a bunch of roundtable interviews there with a lot of their upcoming shows. And full disclosure, I don't watch a lot of CBS shows. The CBS shows I do watch were not there. So I'm watching
Brain Dead,
and I just finished watching Person of Interest, which is just got canceled. But in attendance at these roundtables were NCIS, the show Zoo, cast members of the show Scorpion, and the new MacGyver, which is something that we talked about on the show not too long ago. We were like, where the fuck's MacGyver? They need to remake MacGyver. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, CBS listens to our podcast, and they're like, we need to reboot MacGyver.
Let's hope CBS isn't listening to our podcast.
So I did a bunch of discussions with actors and producers and stuff from those shows. I don't know if we'll ever air them. They're interesting.
The roundtable stuff's weird.
It's weird. It's hard. Especially when I'm not like guiding the roundtable. A lot of times
it might end up in a fill. Like, we've got to do, you know, backfill episodes once we leave Comic-Con. Usually we gap a week, so maybe we'll put it in there or something.
Right.
We'll talk to Scott. We'll let the producer manage it.
We'll let him listen to it and see what he can get out of it. But it was neat. I talked to Wilmer Valderrama for a while.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What's he in?
He's now in NCIS.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he is. And he's coming in.
That
and
show, man.
He plays
Prince
an
money.
Undercover. He's been undercover for like a decade in South America, and he's now coming back And he was really excited about his role. Actually, they're in the process of shooting now. He's only been shooting for like 2 days, so he's like new to the team. And I talked to folks from Catherine McPhee from Scorpion, and
my wife loves Scorpion.
Really? I need to watch it.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No.
Okay.
She loves it in a knowing what it is way. It's
okay.
Like if you watch SVU,
okay.
Like you know what SVU is. You know what every episode's going
right.
to be, but you still watch it because you're just like hooked on the ridiculousness of the show.
Yeah,
that's kind of like her. It's like I said, dude. The opening episode, they hack an airplane by driving like a Lamborghini underneath it and connecting a wire from the airplane to the laptop in the car.
Oh, I remember you talking
about
that
Scorpion.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So totally accurate technologically.
Very real.
Yeah.
Very real.
And I did talk to the creators of the new MacGyver, and I did actually get to ask a lot of questions there, so that might be something that,
yeah,
that we might be able to
fun.
Use. But
you asked him about MacGruber. I think
that's
hilarious.
About MacGruber. I asked him about how viable all of the creations are going to be in the new MacGyver. And they
right.
said everything that the new MacGyver is going to build is something that you can actually build yourself.
That's cool.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so that was fun. So we have that, and you know, that was an interesting set of roundtables. And then what did we do? You went to the
MTV. I went to the MTV Fandom
right,
Awards.
Which I was going to do, but I passed out.
I saw Cruella play.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I learned last night.
Yeah.
If you're a big Cruella fan, I guess you missed out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll leave my musical opinions to the side.
So you saw Cruella.
Saw Cruella.
Saw a lot of screaming people. We can hear it from our hotel.
Yeah.
So we're not I heard the Teen Wolf guys.
It's at Petco Park, yeah. So Teen Wolf won MTV's Fandom Award, which felt a little insider baseball a little bit, but, you know, whatever. Insider baseball is not right, but you know what I mean. So, yeah, they won, and Tyler Posey gave a very long speech with the F-bomb, a lot of F-bombs, a lot of fucks, shits.
Yeah.
But he seemed very happy. I guess they kind of announced that Teen Wolf's not coming back. This is their last season.
Yeah.
So 20 more episodes and they're done. Yeah, and then we watched Cruella. We hung out, danced a little. It's just a big, weird party at Petco Park.
Nice.
We missed out on Pierce the Veil, which is another band I've never heard in my life. And then I'm sure all these bands have like millions of fans and I am just disconnected from this scene entirely.
Yeah.
And then there was some other opener that it was like a guy's name and I didn't really know who they were either. But it makes you feel old. That's fine. Like where's Get Up Kids, man?
Yeah. Where's House of Pain?
I honestly, when they were like Cruella's next, I was like, is this like a 90s hip? I thought it was like a 90s female hip hop like crew group.
Because they all spelled, dress like Cruella DeVille.
I don't know. It's spelled like K-R-E-W-E-L-L-A or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a thing. I hung out with your wife a little bit, and then that was the end of the night. So we did the Fandom Awards, which is we did it for the first time last year, and it was stupid fun. Like we saw Flo Rida last year.
Yeah.
It's just one of those like it's very dumb,
it's totally
fun.
Out of your element.
But whatever. It's like fun.
It's
fun to go act like an idiot and just enjoy whatever the mayhem is around you. Somebody did take very heavy offense to Teen Wolf winning the Fandom. They,
really?
Like Melissa cheered and he said something like not mean but like kind of weird. And I shot him a look and then he like stepped off. I think he was like
man.
It was like weird. Dudism, like, oh yeah, sure, Teen Wolf wins over Walking Dead, and I was like, it's a fake award for fake things, man. Like, what are we all? We're mad
yeah,
about this.
This is edited and then shown 2 days
yeah.
later on television.
Like, who
so
cares?
They can edit it to have anybody win,
but
no one will know.
But it was fun, and yeah. So, what do you want to preview today, or do you just want to?
Let's
we'll say we'll wrap
them.
It and say we'll
yeah,
talk
we do
tomorrow.
Have some stuff coming up today. We have some more interviews, and hopefully, we're going to get some short Comic-Con special interviews out to you as well. But we'll have to see.
Yeah.
It's hard to catch up with people here because
it's gotta, busy.
Got to run around.
It's so, busy. It's a busy time.
So we'll try, and we'll be back and after the break with what will be, I guess,
the
what,
future.
Friday. Yeah, the future. All right. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Is that how we're starting it?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. It's day two. We just we did stuff on Friday, and it's now Saturday morning, and we're going to talk about it.
Yep.
So what did you do early in the morning?
I hung out with you, and we interviewed a few people.
I totally forgot. Dude, yesterday was a blur. Yeah, so we went to the Hilton San Diego Bayfront Odyssey Bar, where we did a bunch of interviews last year as well.
You want a pro tip about the Odyssey Bar?
Yeah, tell me.
Every time you put down your credit card to get a drink or food, they pre-charge you $50.
Oh.
And that hold sits on your card for like 5 days.
Oh, great. I have not purchased anything there, but that's actually really good to know.
One year we went and like... I was using a, I forget what happened, and all of a sudden I looked at the bank account. I was like, what the hell? I'm missing like $300. And I looked, and we had six separate $50 holds from the Odyssey Lounge and Bar at the Hilton. Pro tip. That's, pro tip from me to you guys.
Yeah, so it was really fun, though. I think the thing that I like the most about coming to Comic-Con is running into guests we've had on the show. That's
for
really
sure.
Cool. I mean, you know, when guests do come on our show, they do it kind of, well, they're promoting stuff, but they also do it, you know, kind of out of the kindness of their own heart. Like, you know, we're our show, and, you know, we're not giving them anything for coming on. So them, you know, coming by to hang out and stuff is really cool. So we hung out for a bit with Sissy Jones, which was great.
Yep.
It was just on earlier this year. And also hung out with Hannah Tell, and they knew each other already, which was cool.
Yeah, there was like a crew of voice actors all hanging out together.
Yeah.
And it's really neat to see that community kind of just being buds and hanging out and supporting each other, which they talked about a little, and not on the interview, but that we were talking beforehand with them, and they talked about how it's neat to be in a working community that is supportive of each other and that isn't as concerned about, like, competing for jobs. Like, a lot of times they said, you know,
right,
I'll try out for something, I'll audition, and I'll go, oh man, Sissy would be great for this, and then on the way out they'll be like, you know, you should really bring Sissy in, she would be fantastic for this position. And
right.
Then that's they end up sharing. I don't know if it's like that is, I'm sure like the whole community is not that necessarily, but even if it's just like small groups that hang out together and help mm-hmm. each other with work, that's a cool, I think that's a cool thing.
Right. So. Yeah. We've had a number of them on the show, and they usually say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's competitive, but at the same time, there's a community of them, because
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, I think it's a very like-minded profession. Like you don't necessarily, there's very few people in the voice acting community that are like in the spotlight,
right?
You know, a handful, a dozen perhaps. And the rest are just super hardworking people
that just taking jobs,
do so many great projects and really,
and also do like commercials and
right.
other things. Like, they're just working actors. Essentially,
yeah. So. And the things that we love would not be what they are without great voice actors, which is one of the reasons why we really like having them on the show. So that was cool. And you guys will hear the interviews with Hannah Tell and Sissy Jones later. We're going to release those separately.
Correct.
So little mini Comic-Con episodes. And then what'd you do after that?
I got lunch.
You got lunch.
I had a really late day yesterday. I was just saying that to Ash before we started. Like,
yeah.
I did not do a ton. I went and got some food.
Yeah.
And then I walked the floor, took some pictures of some cosplayers.
I need to do more pictures this year. I was like going through my phone trying to post stuff, and like, oh man, I only took like 10 pictures.
Yeah,
today.
I think my goal today is to. It's Saturday. There's usually a lot of. Sorry, I keep coughing in the mic. A lot of cosplayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably gonna walk around and do that today. So not a ton early in the day. Met up with your wife and my wife at a certain point, walked the floor, and then at 6 or later in the afternoon I went to a professional panel, which I do on occasion at these things.
Cause, you learn anything new? Those are usually hit or miss. It's usually like something profound that they say that like changes the way you think, or it's like, I've heard this 1,000 times and it's nothing new.
It was a really good panel. It wasn't a bad one, because sometimes it's like, ugh. But it was inspiring in a sense. I think at the same time, all professional panels at the end of the day are basically the same thing. We've said this about a lot of things, which is like, if you're going to go to, like, this wasn't necessarily a how to break into the industry job panel. This was like, how to extend your career as a writer, sort of. And it was screenwriters and comic book writers who've been staffed on TV shows and all this other stuff, and they were talking about kind of, you know, the hustle more than like not how to get started or how to write a script or anything like that. They were like, we feel like people should know how to do that. This was more like how to take that and then do something with it,
okay,
kind of thing. And at the end of the day, like you were saying, all professional panels are kind of the same, because the answer is this: do it.
Yeah.
Like, no one's stopping you from writing a thing. No one's stopping you from drawing that piece of art. No one's stopping you from making the video or making your podcast or whatever it might be that you want to do. Like, there is zero people keeping you from doing that thing. Nobody might watch it or support it. Like, it's totally possible that you do a thing that no one cares about, mm-hmm, but no one's stopping you from creating. And the whole
thing is why there's so much bad stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, we've talked about it before on the podcast, where like, I actually think, you know, this is a terrible opinion, but I think gatekeepers aren't the worst things in the world as far as like music and TV and all that goes, because there's a lot of shit that gets made that no one wants to watch and sit through.
Yeah.
But yeah, they talked about, you know, do it and kind of the realities of some of like how they networked and how they, you know, took what was already a finished product and then turned it into something, which was interesting and inspiring. And it was a very diverse panel, which was pretty cool. And they were kind of just talking about their struggles a little bit. And then I actually got up and asked a question, which I never do.
Nice.
Asked about TV writing and getting staffed on a TV show, and whether the concept of aging out is a thing, which is, if you're unfamiliar, aging out means like, you know, you're too old to get hired essentially at a lower level job. And, she was really nice. The one lady was like, she didn't ask my age or anything. She was like, just don't tell them how old you are. They can't ask. And I was like, what? She's like, you look young. You'll be fine. And I was like, well, okay. She was like, yeah. She was like, what it is essentially is that a writer's room tends to skew young. It tends to be like late 20s.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bunch of late 20-year-olds don't want to hire a 40-year-old dude to like sit in the room with them because they don't feel like they can like go out drinking with them or
comfortable.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, comfortable. Absolutely.
So that was really good. And I'll talk about the evening later. What did you do during the panels?
I went to, after you and I split up, I went down to Comic-Con HQ, which is in front of the Hilton now.
Oh, yeah. We hung out there. I did that with you for a minute.
Yeah,
but I
hung out for a little bit longer, and I actually ended up enjoying it. I sat there for about a half an hour watching them do their live content, and I kind of feel like at this point it's undiscovered. Like,
yeah,
there's like maybe 50 to 100 people kind of tooling about at Comic-Con
HQ.
Oh,
in the HQ thing,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what it is they're doing, Comic-Con HQ is a new channel that you can get on your streaming service, so you can get it through you know, Fire TV or through
Roku or something.
Yeah, Roku,
I think, yeah.
Chrome, whatever you want to do. And it's like a, you know, it's its own app and channel. And they do Comic-Con related programming, and they were there recording a bunch of it for an audience, and the audience was seriously like 20 people.
Yeah.
But they had like, you know, people that folks wait all day in line to see were
right
at this with nobody there. So like the Teen Wolf cast was there.
Yeah.
And the cast of Orphan Black was coming up right as I was leaving. So advice for next year, if Comic-Con HQ is still around, It's totally free. You don't need a badge, and you can just kind of walk up and watch some of your favorite stuff and see some interviews with some of your favorite people. So,
yeah, they just took over the tiny little lawn area outside of Hilton.
I mean, granted, it's fucking blazing hot.
It's very hot this year. Somebody tried to tell me it was this hot last year, and I was like, no, it was not.
Absolutely not.
Like yesterday was in the 90s with like high humidity. It's hot as
shit
right now.
I think only 1 year, I want to say it was like 2005 or 2006, when there was a heat wave, was it ever this hot?
Yeah,
like this is really, really hot.
I walked over to there's a Mr. Robot like VR thing going on, and
nice,
the line is outside, and I walked over and it was like noon.
Yeah,
it's like 12:30. The line was outside the building and like down, and it wasn't moving. It wasn't like the longest line. It was like 40 people, but it just wasn't moving. I saw it for like two, three minutes, and not a single person took a step. And I was like, nope.
Yeah. And I also think that's why the Hall H line this year is basically non-existent.
Yeah.
Because most people are just like, not worth it.
No.
And all this stuff's live streamed. It's all.
Yeah. It takes a little bit out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That, like,
I mean,
it's cool that Comic-Con HQ is doing that, but like, there's a little, not to say bragging rights, but there's a little bit of the like, well, you can't see it anywhere. You can't do any of this stuff anywhere else. And now it's like, well, all the Hall H and Room 20, I think
is
a lot of the panels are
in real time,
or stream.
A lot of the bigger rooms.
And then your Comic-Con HQ, I think you're going to be able to go back and watch them on demand, too.
I think so, too.
whatever.
So
man.
It's cool. I mean, you know, if you want to have a staycation and just like put your boxers on and like experience Comic-Con,
we're gonna do that next year. That's how we're gonna podcast.
We're in our living room watching Comic-Con, and then after that, I went down to the floor. I was gonna try and get in Orphan Black, could not. The line was crazy, and then. I've been trying to meet up with Julia Voth, and I actually did last night. So
yeah.
I ended up recording a little interview with Julia Voth,
awesome.
Who is an actress and, of course, was the model for Jill Valentine. And she's running around the show this year just kind of cosplaying, hanging out with her friends, and did a really great interview with her. And I've been trying to meet her for like 5 years since we started the site. She was like one of our first interviews.
That interview for a long, I'm going to out an inside baseball.
That, go for it.
That interview for a long time remained our biggest natural search that would happen on our site was
awesome.
Julia Voth model for Resident Evil.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. Just like
people just really
that like, was like the number one. Like I can't. The actual term is like weird in my head. I can't remember it, but it's like natural search or something. It's what people just Googled for and found on our site the most was that Julia Voth
awesome.
Interview for a really long time.
Yeah. She was great. It's funny, like when you have people on the show and you don't know what like meeting them in person is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to be natural, if it's going to feel weird. Every once in a while, it'll be like super fucking weird.
Right.
And you'll interview somebody like a couple years ago and be like, "You were on my podcast," and you'll see them and they'll be like, "Hey, nice to meet you." But it was really really fun. She was really warm and
she's dressed up, right?
Yeah, she was. The fucking assassin from Force Awakens.
Yes.
I want to say Nassim Pedrad, but that's the person from Saturday Night Live.
Jesus. No, it's not Nassim Pedrad.
No. What's her name? We'll think of it later.
Yeah. Whoever's yelling. It's morning time.
Yeah, it's early.
I'm only halfway through my coffee, and Ash is only halfway through
his
Mountain
Dew. I read
the
book with her in it, too. I can't believe I can't remember. Anyway, so I interviewed Julia Voth. It went really well. It was fun. Then I walked around for a little bit after that and ended up coming back and kind of did a night in with the wife and baby. But we realized that we didn't get into any Nerd HQ panels, but those are also streamed live. So we watched two HQ panels.
Oh, that's cool.
We watched the secret panel, which ended up being a kick-ass woman panel with Retta and Nicole Yvette Nicole Brown and a bunch
funny.
Of other people. That was really, really good. And then what else did we watch? Oh, we watched the tail end of the Orphan Black panel from Nerd HQ. And it was good, man. Like, I still honestly think that Nerd HQ puts on the best panels because they're not there to sell stuff.
Right.
They're for charity. They're for Operation Smile. And also, they're non-scripted. They're just audience questions. And the audience that is there really wants to be there because they paid to be there.
Right.
And they're huge fans of whatever they're there to see. So their questions are usually pretty okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So we watched both of those and ordered some room service and kind of had a night in. And
it was nice.
We
headed out for the night. We had tickets to go see Harmontown live, which is Dan Harmon's podcast that I'm a fan of. And they were doing a live show out at Balboa Theater. The show, they did this thing that, all right. They do their show live at Nerd Melt every week. That's where they record.
Yeah.
Which is Meltdown Comics, where Nerdist does all their stuff or whatever. They're not actually part of Nerdist, which is weird, but they do the show there. And it's like, I think, $5 or $10 to get in. And you go in, you hang out. Nerd Melt's really small. It's not a very big club. And it's very intimate. It's fun, blah, blah, blah. I was a little concerned that this would be weird because it's a seated theater and it's like a thousand person theater. And I was like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be weird. And it was a little weird. But the bigger thing and the thought I had because of talking to Hannah earlier was that they did the thing that sucks when you do a performance, which is psych yourself out about the thing that you're trying to not psych yourself out about, which was... They had been making jokes in the last podcast or two. Their ticket sales were low. Like, it wasn't sold out even close to. And then they were making jokes about whether it was going to be a worthwhile $30 show because it was, like, through Ticketmaster and it was $20 instead of $10. And, like, the whole thing was just not in their normal, like, space, I guess. And then they did half the show, which was 2.5 hours long, mind you.
Wow.
It's a very long thing to sit through.
Yeah.
Half the show was just them asking if they gave us enough entertainment for $30, which was like weird and uncomfortable. But there were some really, really, really funny parts. And the one that I will talk about right now, which was hilarious, was, do you remember the court case, or the, it's not a case, but the situation that happened in the Georgia court where the judge and the guy started yelling at each other, and they were like yelling F-bombs and telling each other to, you know,
I vaguely remember this.
Kind of
stuff. Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. Basically, it was this guy who was going to court, and he wanted to fire his lawyer and, like, represent himself. And then he gets in this, like, long, heated argument with the judge where he gets the judge to say some weird shit. And then they're screaming at each other back and forth. They're like, fuck you. No, fuck you. Like, over and over again. Well, Dan Harmon and his writing partner and creator, co-creator of Rick and Morty, whose name I'm blanking on, he wasn't at the podcast, were reading this thing, and they were like, God, this is hilarious. And Dan was like, wouldn't it be funny if this was Rick and Morty and we did the voices and, like, did a little animatic? And they did an animatic, which is, if you're not familiar with an animatic, it's like stills essentially that kind of, like, illustrate what the cartoon would be. And Morty was the judge, and Rick was the crazy guy that was yelling at the judge.
Nice.
And it was 7 minutes long. The audience was dying. It was one of the funniest things I've seen, like, especially this week, but in a little while. It was hilarious. If you've ever watched Rick and Morty, to picture Rick yelling these, like, crazy things and Morty being like, no, that's not okay, like back at him. And they broke down what was getting yelled at afterwards. It was really, really funny and easily the highlight of the night. And they showed us a pre-render animatic of I think it's season 4 or whatever the next season of Rick and Morty. That was really good. They had the voice of the wife and sister on Rick and Morty, whose name is Spencer. She came out and hung out. It was just kind of like a normal. It was a little bit off. Beat and a little weird. Oh, the other thing is he had made a promise that he would write one full act of the Community movie live on the podcast. That was like a joke he made. So he did. I took a bunch of pictures and maybe I'll post a few, but he did write, like, he live wrote in Final Draft, like, this terrible script. It was really, really bad, and it started off, it was super meta. He was writing as himself writing to the audience on Final Draft, which is up on the screen. So he was, like, narrating, like, him sitting in front of the audience before the show. He did that for, like, 5 minutes, and then at the end of the show, he stripped down to his underwear, opened up Final Draft, and wrote the final act to the Community movie, and everybody walked off stage. It was so late. It was like 12:30. It was still going. And, like, he's writing, and, like, the whole, like, Spencer walked off. There's two Spencers. Spencer Crittenden, who's the DM, walked off. The other Spencer walked off. His assistant had walked off. And then Jeff Davis, who hosts it usually, was, like, there for a little while. He said in the mic, he's like, I'm only here because the phone is connected to the music. And his phone, it was, like, his phone. And he was just sitting, he was like, Dan, what are we doing, man?
Oh, God.
And eventually, at the very end, he comes out, he's like, all right, Dan, I'm leaving. For real, I'm going to leave. And he just, like, unplugs his phone and walks off stage. And Dan Harmon finally, like, tied it up and finished the script. It was brutally long by that point. And Melissa didn't want to be there. And even I was like, I don't really want to be here at this point. But it was funny, and I got some pictures of the script, and maybe we'll post a couple or something, but I don't know if I'll post the ones of him in his underwear, but it was funny. It was really good. It was, you know, it's Harmontown. It's always kind of weird and different and crazy. Yeah. And that's what you go expecting. So
good times.
It was good. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, today looks like it's going to be action packed as well. So we're going to run
and
around.
Not as hot, according to Poncho.
Oh, really?
My weather.
That'd be wonderful if that's true.
My weather status.
But we'll run around on Saturday and, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and tell you what happened on Saturday.
You guys won't even notice it.
Yeah, you won't. Hey, man.
Hi.
This is our Saturday coverage.
How's yes. going? Good.
How you feeling?
Sleepy.
Yeah.
I don't sleep well in hotels.
There's a little bit of an echo in here for our listeners.
I
was listening
to
it last
probably,
night.
Is it really?
Yeah,
you can hear it on the mic?
You can hear a little bit. It's like a cacophonous, as they say.
Oh, well, we're in a nice cozy room on the 9th floor of our hotel.
We are. And there's not much in here, so that's why there's
just glass and tile.
We're not in a tomb.
that's what you think people would assume we were in.
Oh, those guys must be podcasting from a tomb again. All right.
It's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, yesterday was pretty action-packed for me in a non-traditional way. I didn't see...
Ash got gay married.
Yeah. Yay! I didn't go to any panels or really anything of the sort, but I did run around and talk to a bunch of people, and I saw a show, which was cool.
Yeah, you did.
So I woke up early, and we recorded, and then I went down to see Nerf Herder play, which was neat. They were playing at the House of Blues with the Aquabats, and I had no idea that the Aquabats have like a huge following of children. I had no idea that was a thing, so I was expecting no one to be there. I didn't buy tickets. I just kind of wandered down there, and by the time I got to House of Blues, the line was all the way around the block, and I didn't think I was going to get in, but I got in, and it was a great show. They're always a lot of fun. We saw them play last year. Nerf Herder doesn't play out too much anymore.
Did
like
they do the Buffy theme 40 times
again?
They
didn't do it at all. It was really strange. They didn't do the Buffy theme at all, but what they did have to do that was hilarious, when they noticed that there were so many children in the audience, they had to change all their lyrics on the fly, and... So one of their songs is called "I'm a Pervert," and it's all just about being like a sicko pervert. And he changed it to "I'm a Pirate," and everything was pirate themed in the song.
Fantastic!
But it's Perry Grip, and Perry Grip is sort of the master of doing
that
kind of stuff.
Did he do any of his Perry Grip songs?
He did. He did. Was the monkey on the back of a? And he did "Space Unicorn."
Okay.
No, it was good, man. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I don't know if I've ever really been to a show at like 11:45 in the morning.
I've done it once when our friend Trong visited with their child, and we went and saw They Might Be Giants at noon.
It's weird, right?
Which was like the kids' show. And I knew it was the kids' show going in, but yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there and you're like, oh, they played all their kids' songs, and it was packed full of dancing children. It was odd.
That is really strange. What did you do first thing in the morning?
I did something I've never con first. I went and saw the Simpsons panel.
Oh, that's so exciting.
In room 20. I usually miss it. It's usually packed. It's usually impossible to get into. For whatever reason, room 20 has been relatively accessible this year. And so is Hall H. I have no idea why. Although Hall H, when like Marvel hit, was packed out the wazoo.
I still don't think I didn't see people like camping out around all the way around the block. You did?
Yeah,
okay.
For this morning. It's like, I think it's Supernatural and all that
stuff. Oh, okay.
So I went and saw the Simpsons panel. It was really fun. It was a bunch of questions and answers, and Matt Groening was there and handing out free stuff. And it was really neat to see a show that's been around just literally forever treat their fans really well and talk to people in a very fun way and just kind of enjoy themselves around the crowd. I also caught some of Vampire Diaries, which...
Every year, one of us has to see something, either the originals or...
Mine is 3 years in a row of originals or Vampire Diaries. Yeah. Like, I keep seeing these panels, and I've never watched the show in my life. If you have, yay, I guess. I saw some stuff.
I would pay you, like, at least $10 during the Q&A session to go and ask a question about Vampire Diaries.
God damn it. Dumbest. They announced it's their last season. I really don't know what else to say about Vampire Diaries. I was there. It happens every year. It was fine.
Now, Nina Dobrev is no longer on the show.
Okay.
That's all I know. And I know
Ian
Somer. I saw him walk around the hotel.
Ian
Somerhalder.
Somerhalder, he was there.
He's there. He's not quitting that show.
No, he's writing that one out to the last episode.
Yeah. Yeah,
A lot of dudes, and then like two ladies, and they're all like, haha, our characters, and I was like, I've never seen the show. It's weird when you have to camp a panel that you're like, I have no idea what this is, because you just kind of sit there while everybody else is freaking out around you.
And we're probably really pissing off a couple of Vampire Diaries fans.
I mean, I have no problem with the show itself. I know it's like, it's sort of soap opera-y,
Honestly, I bet you if I sat down and I watched it, it would be something that I wouldn't hate, because I sat through True Blood. You know?
I sat through True Blood. Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying, like, it's a CW soap opera, right? I mean, revolving around vampires.
I think that's what it's about.
Yeah,
one of them has a diary that they keep.
Yeah. Many of them have diaries.
Oh, they all have, yeah, it's multiple diaries.
Yeah, okay. Lots of diaries by vampires.
Diarrheas.
So.
It's too early. Matt still has his coffee. He's just grimacing at me.
I'm smiling. They can hear my smile. It's all mouth, though, no eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went back and met up with our wives.
Nice.
What were you doing next?
I ran from the Nerf Herder thing, and I had an interview with the gentleman behind Con Man, and mm-hmm. Nolan North was there because Nolan North is in Con Man. And of course, you guys know Nolan North as the voice of everything and every game ever, and the voice of Nathan Drake. And it was nice. We got some great audio with him, which we'll release to you guys in our feed. So take a look out for that. And, you know, he was talking a lot about just voice acting in general and about his character in Con Man. And he's going to be a producer on the Con Man game. And he's never been a video game producer before, so he was excited about that. And that was really fun. We had never talked to Nolan North, and he always was kind of, you know, some person that we always really wanted to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice to actually get to sit down and talk with him. And then when that conversation was done and the panel was over, I talked to him for a little bit longer, and he was there with his son, and just a super warm, nice guy. And then I had another, before that I went down and ate in the lobby. And it was really surreal for me because I'm sitting down and I ate some like really crappy lobby tacos yesterday. Yeah. I was like starving, and I'm sitting there eating, and I look up, and like 10 feet away from me, all at the bar, is the entire cast of Supergirl just like scarfing food.
Right.
And it's really surreal at these events. Like last night we were downstairs at the hotel bar, and Travis from Vikings was just like there.
Who
like,
has been hanging out in our hotel lobby all week long.
If you're a fan of Vikings, the whole cast of Vikings is just like pillaging our lobby like all weekend.
And super nice, mind you.
They're
like
awesome.
Like hanging out and saying hi to people, taking pictures, like having no problems being you know, in around people. But yeah, like he has literally just been wandering our lobby all week.
Yeah, so it was like midnight last night, and he's just there like pretty much by himself goofing around on his cell phone, you know, so kind of that. I mean, those are the surreal Comic-Con things that I love.
Yeah.
And then after that, I went and talked with Ashley Eckstein from Her Universe, who we've had on the show before. And it was cool. It was a really small, just like one table, round table, talking about Her Universe and their relationship with Comic-Con HQ and, you know, all the great licenses that they've brought on into Her Universe. And just how much has changed, really, for her since she started Her Universe. And didn't really get to talk about, you know, Clone Wars or Rebels or anything like that, which is unfortunate. But, you know, she's just a super, one of those really positive people that I've always admired. And, you know, it seems to be doing everything for the right reasons. So
agreed.
So that was really cool. And you guys will get to hear that stuff too. Then we saw a little...
What are we saying about this?
We saw a little love connection. We can talk about this.
Yeah, we won't mention
it. It's already
names.
Been on the social medias.
Yeah, we were technically the first to report it.
It's true. technically.
A couple of our friends are cosplayers. You've probably seen them in our Instagram feed if you're following it.
Right.
And they cosplayed as Lyanna and Rhaegar
mm-hmm.
from Game of Thrones. And every Saturday they do this huge Game of Thrones kind of photo session out on the stairs behind the con. And we knew this because I'm sharing a room with these two people, but we knew this was going to happen, but she didn't know it was going to happen. And they got engaged on the steps where they met, essentially.
In front of like a million Game of Thrones
characters.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. Everybody was cheering, and she said yes. So
that's good. That's good news.
Right. She's got a cool dragon ring.
Yeah.
And not even like in a, you know... I feel like when you say cool dragon ring, you think of, you know, those like dragon claws with the orb
Spencer
in it.
Spencer gifts.
That you would have on your neck, you know.
Yeah, and I remember those. The marble orb, yeah.
But this is actually it's kind of a classy ring. It looks nice and it was really neat to see.
Yeah, so, happy for this person that we shall not name.
I mean, yeah, you can figure it out if you want. But
yeah.
If you're so inclined.
We've known her a very long time.
We have.
So, you know, I never thought she'd find love.
She's come to Comic-Con with us the past
four or five years.
Yeah.
So. The first year she came to Comic-Con with us, she had the flu, And it was like the worst thing ever. So we won't talk about that. So that was midday. And then after that, what did we do?
I broke off and went to Indigo and missed Expanse and Magicians.
Ooh.
Which is fine. I missed it for the engagement. So I knew I knew what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And Melissa's like, go to the Expanse. I'm like, I'm not. Like, I can watch the Expanse thing
That's
later.
That's like a moral. Like, I did the same thing. I was like in the middle of a meeting and I was like, oh God, I got to run. And I would have felt so bad if I missed it.
Yeah. So missed those two. Expanse showed some footage from Bobby and the Martian battle armor and all that power armor. So I thought that stuff was all cool. I already saw it, not before, but I've seen it since. It all looks really good. The casting's great. Yeah, I think the show is going to start stretching its CG budget because stuff's starting to take place like outside in Mars.
Oh, nice.
So it's not so much in... Well, stretch in maybe a bad way. Like, I think it's going to start showing its... It's like, you know, fifth season dragons in Game of Thrones where you're like, what did Daenerys just get on that dragon or did they fly around a broom in a room full of green screens?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but it looked good. Everything looks good. And then I saw the pilot episode for a new show on Fox called Son of Zorn.
Which is the mix of cartoon live action.
Yeah, it's really hard to describe other than they are shooting a family sitcom where the family is Cheryl Hines, Johnny Pemberton, and Tim Meadows. And Cheryl Hines' ex-husband is a cartoon named Zorn, and he is voiced by Jason Sudeikis. And basically, like Roger Rabbit style, this cartoon Zorn lives in this real world. There's an island called, it's not Ishtar, but it's something along those lines, that is actually a cartoon island that's on Earth. That's like where he goes and fights battles and like it's always in war and all this stuff. And then he comes back. He looks like a mix of like Thundar and He-Man.
Oh,
like,
so good.
It's ridiculous. But it was very funny. The audience was laughing like out loud. They had, you know, 800 people in the room like laughing out loud for a show they've never seen before. It was really, really good. Not really, really, really good. It's probably too many reallys. It was good. I enjoyed it a lot. I will definitely watch it when it comes out. Then they Cheryl Hines and Johnny Pemberton and Tim Meadows were all there and they did a Q&A and you know that was fine. But yeah, so Son of Zorn's coming to Fox I think in the fall. Like one of the funny parts I'll kind of to try to describe what the show's like. Zorn's trying to like reconnect with his son who he left 10 years ago to go back to the island that he lived on. And he left his son with his wife Cheryl Hines in the like regular California world. And he comes back and he figures out that his son's been taking the bus everywhere. And instead of like getting him a car, like a normal dad would do, it like cuts to this scene where he's standing in the driveway with what they called, I think, a death hawk. And it was like this giant cartoon hawk standing next to Zorn. And he's like, I got this for you, son. And Johnny Pemberton's like, he's like, what for me? And then Cheryl Hines is, it's like the classic scene where like the wife doesn't, it thinks it's too dangerous. And the son, but it's all revolving around two cartoon characters. One of which is a, quote unquote, death hawk standing next to Zorn.
That's so good.
And then when Cheryl Hines is like, there's no way he's getting on that. Zorn just like murders it with his sword, like right in front of everybody. And then like the closing scene is Tim Meadows, like hosing cartoon blood off the driveway. It's like a really weird, surreal show, but
it
was funny.
That's cool.
And then after that, I stayed for Last Man on Earth, which is I still feel like one of the best shows on TV.
I agree with you. Absolutely. Especially, it's one of my favorite comedies. Like that and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, are two of my favorites right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really good.
It was great. The whole cast was there. So a lot of it was Will Forte and Kristen Schaal just making jokes. There's like, we talked about this a little. There's a panel can be poorly moderated and it just kind of tanks the whole panel.
Right.
And that's happened a couple, like Silicon Valley and the Son of Zorn and the Last Man on Earth were all moderated by like somebody that just wasn't good at conversation. Like it was just like it's like they had a list of questions and they had to get through those questions and like,
it's very dry.
Every once in a while they'd make a joke that just like tanked itself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was pretty great. The best moment of the panel though was the girl who plays, I think, Erica, her real name's Cleopatra. And there was,
is she pregnant in real life or not?
No.
Okay.
No. She was like, she said something like, yeah, I call Will Forte all the time and he never calls me back. And then Will Forte said, why would I call you back? And I would never call, he said, like, I would never call you back. Like that. And like, it kind of, no one really reacted. And the whole panel goes by, like 30 minutes goes by between this. And they're about to open up the floor to Q&A. And he's like, wait, I need to clarify something. I'm a real perfectionist about this stuff. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, when I said I wouldn't call you back, I meant that's not your name. Your name's Cleopatra. Why would I call you back? He's like, I should have said boom or something. I don't feel like anybody got the joke. It's like, I started dying laughing because he's out there explaining a really basic, ridiculous joke because no one laughed at it when he made it. And he was like, I didn't want to seem like an asshole. I would definitely call you. I'm not going to call you back. That's not your name. And I was like, oh, God. So terrible. So so that was really fun, and it was funny. And then I took off and came and met you for an interview.
Yeah, so we
I don't know if you did anything in between there.
I did.
Oh, no,
I took
you
the child back.
Took the child here. Yeah,
we did child swap, and I took the kid, the sweaty baby, walked halfway across town with him.
Yeah.
Then we went back to the show, and you and I interviewed Ann Foley, who is the costume designer on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And that was fun. We just did our, you'll be hearing a lot of these kind of, I don't want to call them generic, but they're kind of like fun Comic-Con interviews. But we did one of those, and we did ask some S.H.I.E.L.D.-specific questions as well.
Yep.
About last season and some stuff about this upcoming season. But she's great, super talented. It's always neat to hear what she has to say. And she's always, you know, gracious enough to give us the time to talk to her. So,
yeah.
So you'll be hearing some stuff from Ann Foley. If you're into costume design, cosplay, and all that stuff, it's definitely something you're going to want to listen to.
Yeah.
And after that, we had some dinner with some pals of ours.
Some friends.
Yeah, which was good.
Some out-of-towners.
Yeah, so we ate some dinner, and then I kind of laid low, and then we ended up trying to get into the Geek and
Sundry. Laid low, Ash? We went to party.
Yeah, we went to a party. We did not get into the party.
No.
Because it was absolutely crazy.
It was.
We tried to get into the Geek and Sundry party, but the line was...
We were yelling, we're Ash and Matt from Nerd Appropriate, and
yeah.
No one was paying attention to it.
Yeah,
I don't know what the deal is.
It seems to be a regular occurrence.
I walk around the con floor screaming it at everybody, and they're like, okay.
Nerd what? Which nerd site is this?
Nerdist Appropriate.
Nerd imploder? What? Fuck. So yeah, that was sort of the end of the evening. But I wanted to ask you if you've seen any of the new trailers that have dropped, because there have been a lot.
This is the thing with Comic-Con. I was actually thinking about this a minute ago, that all this stuff happens here, and I'm here, and I don't see like 90% of it until I get home.
Right.
Or until like tomorrow when we're not doing anything at all, and I'm just sitting at the airport watching trailers on YouTube.
That's kind of what I did this morning. I'll just say that they dropped Luke Cage. Looks great. It actually shows sort of a Daredevil-esque.
Oh, I did watch the Luke Cage one. Yeah,
really
that one's
good.
Really good.
Really
yeah.
good. They dropped Doctor Strange.
Did not watch that one yet.
New Doctor Strange, better than the first one. I liked it a lot. They dropped a Justice League trailer.
That's what I heard.
Which I did not even know was filming. I had no idea because it's...
Oh, I didn't know it was filming.
Yeah, and there's a lot of footage. So I was like, oh, there's a lot of like...
It was actual Justice League footage and not like chopped together other movies?
Actual Justice League with like...
Because they dropped the Wonder Woman video
trailer. And the Wonder Woman stuff. But yeah, there was a lot of Justice League stuff, which I guess it has to be shooting right now.
I heard Wonder Woman looks really good.
It really did. And that's the one... maybe we'll watch it when we do a wrap up tonight.
So what you're saying is Mylan was right and you were wrong. Wonder Woman can sell.
Oh my God! I never said that. I never said that. I don't even remember what I said, but I know I didn't say that. But yeah, Wonder Woman looked really good. And what else did I watch? Oh, Kong Skull Island.
That one I heard looks really good too.
It looks
I haven't
really
seen it.
Good.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, they announced Brie Larson as Captain Marvel,
which
as well.
I'm excited about. She's great.
They did that while we were interviewing Ann Foley in the room.
Yeah.
And we found that out when we weren't technically supposed to, I believe.
I think so, too.
We were, like, walking through the Marvel booth, and they were like, it was just Marvel employees, some of whom I know, and they were like, oh, yeah, they're announcing the Captain Marvel thing. They're announcing it, like, right now. They're announcing it's Brie Larson, and my friend was like, oh, are they? And she's like, and then the other girl like looked at you and I and realized we were not Marvel employees in the back of them. And she was like, well, it's not like public information yet. And I was like,
what are we going to do?
I'm going to tweet it now.
We've never gotten a scoop before.
Yeah.
Come on. But anyway, that was pretty much it for our Saturday goodness. We'll, of course, be back in
Loki Day.
Yeah.
Well, not low-key day. Low space key day.
Low-key day Sunday. So hopefully we have something to talk about on Sunday.
Are you doing anything today? You got any?
Some people that I'm going to try and catch up with.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Yeah, me either. I think I'm just going to... This might be... Usually it's my take pictures and possibly buy some stuff day.
That's kind of what I want to do too. So, all right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Or not.
Or not.
We will. Hello.
Hey, man.
Welcome to Sunday.
Sunday.
Day of. We're doing day of recording.
Yeah, so we survived Comic-Con 2016. It's over.
It is.
Town's packing up.
It's already packed up, really.
Yeah, it's really strange. It's even how
sadder
quickly
tomorrow.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. They start like taking everything down immediately as soon as the doors close.
Yep.
So
even outside, like banners are down, like everything's just gone pretty much. Right,
yeah,
away.
You did get a chance to look at those trailers.
Yeah,
initial
yeah.
thoughts.
Yeah,
the big ones.
Really like the Skull Island, the Kong Skull Island one, and then the other surprise one that I was telling you that you have not seen yet is the Guy Ritchie, King Arthur trailer, which is like swords and sorcery and Guy Ritchie, like, and it is 100% a Guy Ritchie movie.
That's awesome. I'm actually really excited. I love his stuff.
And the lead, is it the guy from Sons of Anarchy, I think, is the lead?
Oh, is it?
Blonde, big strapping blonde gentleman.
That sounds correct.
I think it's the guy from Sons of Anarchy, but I could be very wrong on that. And there was like either Jude Law or a Jude Law lookalike.
Ah.
But it was wonderful. The whole thing is really good. And there's a bunch of magic-y things going on and swords and fighting. And Guy Ritchie quips.
Nice. We were talking about this earlier, but so much happens here that it's virtually impossible to see even a hundredth of what happens at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So when you get home from Comic-Con, you get to catch up on everything that you missed.
Extend the con a little bit.
Right. And people at home might even have a better idea of some of the big things that happened.
That got announced
than
while
the people
we were...
that were actually here. Because, like, honestly... You know, you're always struggling to hang on to your battery life on your devices. You're always going. Like, how many... You've been tracking how far you've walked and stuff on this con.
I've averaged about 12 and a half to 13 miles a day.
A day. So you're talking like, you know, a half marathon...
Per day.
Every day.
Yeah.
And then you basically keep going. And we've been... This show, because we're old and we're okay with stopping, we've actually stopped to eat. We've had meals.
Yeah.
But in the olden days, when we were young, strapping lads, you would do that 12 miles and just like fucking not eat anything.
Yeah, no water.
Yeah.
And you just keep going.
Be just destroyed.
You'd
know?
Be like, why do I have a headache right now? Like,
right. Yeah, that happened every year.
We took it somewhat easy this time.
Right.
Yeah, but the trails. I watched the Justice League one too. Watched Wonder Woman,
which felt Justice League felt weird though, right? Because
yeah, I don't know.
I honestly, like I said earlier, I didn't know that they had been filming already.
Yeah, that was a little surprising. The best thing about all the Justice League stuff or all the DC stuff is that, you know, Batfleck is like a real surprise hit. Like, he's easily the best thing in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
And he looks great in the trailer for Justice League. Like, Ben Affleck seems to really want to be Batman, which is kind of awesome. So hopefully that'll hold for a little bit.
And he's directing Justice League.
Is he directing Justice League or is he directing...
The next Batman. He's directing Batman the next movie. Batman.
I think it's the next Batman movie.
I think so.
Because Justice League still is Zack Snyder, I think.
Why don't we know this? We should know this.
We're not nerd enough. I mean, honestly, I don't think we know this because I don't think we follow the DC universe.
We don't follow it all that much. Anyway, it looked good.
It looks.
It had some great stuff between
good.
Batman, Aquaman, who I hope they, you know, I haven't really read Aquaman comics, but.
Yeah. The newer ones, like some of I know some of the Geoff Johns Aquaman stuff is supposed to be very good. And interesting. They make a joke in the trailer, like, I hear you talk to fish is a throwaway joke line that Batman makes at one point.
Yeah.
The Wonder Woman trailer looks like the Captain America DC woman version. Like, it's tons of action, lots of like quick shots with amazing fight sequences and
fight
choreography.
Sequences look really good.
she looks awesome as Wonder Woman. Like, I think the whole thing looked great and entertaining, and that's not Zack Snyder. That's a different director for
right.
sure. I don't remember who it is off the top of my head, but... So, I mean, I think the most exciting thing to me about this DC stuff is that it's not all Zack Snyder, which is, like, fine. He's a serviceable director. He makes beautiful films that tend to have no great plot lines running through them that, you know, are worth
which is so unfortunate, right?
I mean, but it's all of his movies. And I've been a fan of his for a very long time. Yeah. And everything he does is very, like, visually just stunning. And
right.
then it's like, what happened? Like, what were all the...
Right.
There's, if you've watched Batman vs. Superman, there's an honest trailer out about Batman vs. Superman that... like nails every, I mean, they tend to on all their stuff, but they nailed every point of it, which was like, you'd be just like a blind jerk to say it was a bad movie. Cause there's a ton of awesome things that happen in the movie. It's just also the most confusing and like muddled plot line you've ever seen in your life. And they jackhammer Justice League stuff in, which is weird because then you see the Justice League trailer and you're like, well, this is clearly them putting the Justice League together.
Right.
So it was weird, but I think that's what's weird about it is just watching. We're going to watch an origin story about superheroes that we know all the origins for.
Right, right. It's part of our like collective unconscious at this point.
Yeah.
And
no Superman in the trailer, which is weird.
Yeah, at all.
At all. Not even mentioned or shown or anything.
Who knows?
He's
off flying around.
What other trailers did I watch? I watched the Luke Cage one again with volume this time. I watched...
Really good, right?
Really great. I mean, yeah. Everything they're doing
Dude,
is awesome.
Dude, the Luke Cage stuff, they're actually showing him... Because he didn't
I should
really
be clear.
Fight.
I mean, everything that the Marvel TV Netflix stuff is doing has been awesome
yeah.
so far. Like, everything's been good, but the Netflix stuff is like every single time I see anything, I'm like, awesome.
Right. And yeah, the Luke Cage stuff that they showed off, actually seeing him in, I mean, he had a brief fight scene in Jessica Jones in the bar. But
yeah.
he was basically
yeah, yeah.
more just standing there like
and he like didn't
want
to fight in the Jessica
right.
Jones
he,
stuff
yeah. yeah and this one he is like going after people and
yeah.
you're like okay that's what someone yeah. who's basically bulletproof in his superhuman strength can do in a fight against normal
yeah.
people. He just like didn't give a shit so
yeah.
it was great.
There's a great shot of him walking with his back to the audience and it's just bullet holes through all of his sweatshirt
oh,
and stuff.
So good.
And you're like, oh, that's pretty cool.
And then the Defenders teaser.
Watch the Defenders teaser, which was just them spelling the
Nirvana
word Defenders.
Music, man. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. Did you watch the Iron Fist teaser?
I did.
Thought that was fun.
It's really cool. I think, you know, they're just...
Origin story on him. Although I feel like origin stories on Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Daredevil... Maybe Daredevil's the least warranted, but they're all warranted because it's like these are a bunch of characters
right.
that only comic book readers have read anything
Absolutely.
About.
And they do a good job of stretching the origin story out to be, you know, the major purpose for the first seasons of those shows to get to know those characters. And
yeah.
they take their time with the origins, right? It's not just kind of like, you know, Bruce Wayne's parents laying dead in an alley
yeah,
for
again.
35 seconds
yeah.
just to be like, look, he's pissed off. It's
yeah.
like, you know, you get to know why they're motivated to do what they do. So
yeah. Watch the Doctor Strange trailer, the new one of those. Looks trippy. I've read a little bit of Doctor Strange books because he's always interested me as far as he's basically like a world and time bending magician, you know, or wizard. And I've always wanted to know more about him, so I've read some of the stuff. His stuff's really hard to follow, I think. I'm just not smart enough, I guess. But but the movie looks super trippy. It's like Marvel's Inception, essentially.
Yeah, it looks crazy. I'll definitely go see it. I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'm necessarily excited.
Yeah.
Just because, again, that's a corner of the Marvel Universe that I never really ventured into all that much.
Right.
Like, I was never a big cosmic guy. Mystical guy, like... Did a little bit in Moon Knight, and I didn't honestly start reading Guardians until I heard the film was coming out. Then I went back and read a bunch of Guardians.
I had read Annihilation, which is in the Guardians universe, but not specifically Guardians. And then I did the same thing. I went back and read Guardians books, and they're great. And the Guardians 2, I also went and read up on Thor Ragnarok and on Guardians 2, that news that came out. They announced Star-Lord's father ahead of the film.
Which is weird,
but I mean, he's such a weird, obscure character that I don't think it really matters
right.
that much. Like,
yeah.
he's essentially a moon planet that turned into a human form so that he could have a son.
Yeah,
which is pretty great, and they cast it really, really well. And then Thor Ragnarok, you know, we got to see the armor shots of Hulk, which is armor stuff.
Everything
looks amazing.
That we've been hearing for years about Hulk being on, you know, Planet Hulk. is going to finally happen.
Yeah.
And it sounds pretty amazing. I mean,
I feel like this is going to be the first lauded Thor film, because everybody always kind of poo-poos Thor's films.
Yeah, I stumbled into reading just about that, because they're only like a week or two into shooting the new Thor film. But he doesn't have long hair in this.
Yeah,
is weird.
Cut. Yeah, it's short.
Like, his head's like almost shaved, short cropped, and he has like war paint on, which I'm just like, that's gonna be badass. Like he and Hulk,
Hulk's got the Mohawk helmet.
Yeah,
and stuff.
The old Spartan helmet. Yeah. I think it's gonna be so much fun. So
I think it'll be good. So read up on all that stuff, and then I did that during a break today because we should tell our epic tale this morning.
Yeah, so we were wandering. We went and grabbed breakfast. Is that what we did first?
No, you and I recorded this morning.
We recorded this morning. That's right. And then we went.
We had a 10 o'clock panel for Marissa Myers, author that we know.
Yeah,
and she was doing like a one-on-one talk with NPR essentially for a panel, mm-hmm. which sounded really great. She's got a book coming out called Heartless, and her full Cinder arc series
right.
was there. And
everyone should definitely check her stuff out. It's incredible, and if you like.
It's a good
like
read. Alternate fantasy retelling of old fairy tales.
A lot of cyberpunk stuff in there, too.
Yeah, it's really good. So we were headed to that panel, which was at 10. We walked by Petco Park and found a wallet.
Yeah. And we were like,
we
what do
we
do?
Shopping spree.
And we bought a whole bunch of shit.
No,
it was like one of those moments where like, oh man, some poor guy lost his wallet. Then you look down and like all his credit cards and shit
his
are still in there.
His license was still in it. Like,
yeah, it's
everything.
So...
Clearly, poor guy just dropped it.
Right. So we were like, figured out that we thought he was staying at a Hilton, and we were able to find out all like his home address.
Scary. It's really scary
like,
how much
we,
you can
like,
learn.
Honestly, just Googling for like two blocks, we're like, found out where he lived, found out his political party affiliation, found out his mom's phone number.
Yeah.
And like,
so I knew the girls wanted to get to the panel for sure, and you guys had the baby with you, so I was like, well, you three go. I'll take the wallet to the Hilton, because we had a Hilton key card. I was like, we'll try to get it there. Went there, couldn't find him in that Hilton. Went to the other Hilton in the area, couldn't find him there. And then she started – she was super helpful. Like, she was helping me look it up. She called Hilton Central, like, all this stuff, trying to figure out who he was. And during that time, she started rattling off all the Hiltons you could stay at for Comic-Con, and it was, like, 7 Hiltons.
Oh, man.
She was like, well, there's this one, and there's – Bayfront. I was like, yeah, I went to Bayfront. She's like, okay. And then there's Mission Hill, and then there's this one. And she just started listing them. I was like, oh God, I don't even know. So she was trying to find it. We didn't find it. And eventually went to Comic-Con, dropped the wallet at their Lost and Found, and they said somebody had been looking for a wallet. So hopefully, Caleb, if you're out there,
yeah,
hopefully
good luck,
you
Caleb.
Found your wallet and get to fly home, because
you owe us lunch, buddy.
Yeah, you owe me something specific. I've been walking around. It better be good karma on
my
part. But I just felt bad because it was like he had his license, and
that's
all I kept
rough.
Thinking was like, he can't fly home if he doesn't have his license. Like, they're not going to let you on a plane.
Yeah.
You'd have to like do backflips probably to get onto that plane.
Right.
And so hopefully he found his wallet and he's going home safe. But
hopefully
so
he
that
wasn't
was our,
abducted, you know.
But you got to go to the panel.
We are pretty close to Mexico. He could be kidneyless in an ice tub someplace.
I did sort of think about that because the wallet was just like spread on
it
the ground.
It was pretty violently spread out.
But then I also thought, this is Sunday morning. Saturday night is party night.
Yeah.
We were probably some of the first people to walk down the street because we were up pretty early and moving.
Yeah.
So he might have just drunkenly dropped it out.
Who knows?
Well, hopefully,
we know all his
Caleb,
contact. We can call his mom.
We'll call. We'll keep calling his mom until she responds to us.
Yeah.
Who knows? But how'd the panel go?
Panel went great. So, you know, Marissa Meyer, we've known her for years. We had her on the podcast, I want to say,
like four or five years ago.
And the neat thing is, it was one of those great things that happens because we do this site, like, we ended up becoming closer with her, and my wife and your wife keep in contact with her pretty regularly and see each other like when she comes through town. And she's an incredible writer, and she was one of the featured guests here at Comic-Con this year. And she had a number of panels, and this one was just all about her and what's coming up. And, you know, she's got a lot of stuff going on. She's about to come out with a graphic novel with one of the side characters from the Lunar Chronicles, Eco. And so if you're into graphic novels and you want to know about sort of
Eco's
this...
Eco's cool, too.
Yeah, this cool AI character, Eco, who's kind of quirky and funny. I believe it's called... Oh, man, I'm going to butcher this. It's like Bolts and Guts or something like that. Yeah, but it looks like it's going to be pretty incredible. And we've been talking about moderators, but the NPR moderator was great.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, she was really, really good, really funny. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a moderator telling their own anecdotal stories during the panel as well, if it makes the other person on the other end of the interview feel more comfortable.
Right.
Like, there has to be a give and take.
I feel like we do that during interviews. On occasion, you just, you know, you think of something, you're like, oh, I have a funny story to relate to this, you know?
Right. And I feel like what you were talking about earlier, a lot of the moderators are too afraid to do that, so they simply just ask dry question after dry question with no back and forth, and it becomes really sterile, right?
Yep.
But this moderator is great, and the panel was awesome.
Awesome.
And, you know...
Yeah, I missed basically the whole thing. I got to walk in just so that they could say thanks, Marissa Meyer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I literally walked in at the very, very end of it. But I was glad to at least see everybody really quick. And then we broke off. Actually, we went and got lunch. We were hungry. We were hungies.
I went to the floor before that just for a little bit. I did like a quick round
around
the
floor. First floor visit other than preview night.
Yeah, man. I hadn't been down there in a while, which is weird. So I kind of went down by the game stuff again. I was going to see if I could play some Gears of War or whatever. And lines were kind of outlandish. So I have a no line policy this year, apparently, where I'm just not going to wait for anything. So I kind of scooted past that and then looked around, went by Marvel. Marvel was just packed again. And then you guys said that you wanted to get lunch. We went to lunch at a secret spot that was quite delicious.
And we're not going
to
tell you because it's awesome.
We're not. Maybe if you direct message us at Nerd Appropriate, we'll tell you. But we're not going to let the masses know.
If you bring us 10 followers on Instagram, we'll let you know.
Man.
I don't know how we would. Anyways, so we've got lunch and then we broke up again. I think you kept trucking today. I was beat.
Yeah.
So Melissa and I went back to the hotel, and like I literally got. That's when I watched all the trailers and all the stuff, and we sat for like an hour before we went back to the floor for a little bit. I bought some books, got The Martian,
nice.
Got Armada, and got Console Wars. That Blake, I forget his last name. Book
Lively.
No, but it's we've talked about it, I think, briefly. It's like a tome of like the history of the 90s console wars.
Video game competition.
Video game stuff going on. So Sega, Nintendo, and all that. I picked up those books, and a new Cryptozoic is here with all their board games, and they have a new version of Epic Spell Battles of the Wizards of Mount Skullfire.
Yeah.
I think that's the
actual title.
They have a new one that I won't even attempt to remember what the name is.
Yeah.
Apparently, same art, same everything looks awesome, but it's a new title. So I picked that up too. Kind of walked around. Didn't end up catching any panels today at all. Although, to be fair, Sunday's usually a weird panel day anyways.
Right. I mean, you could go to them, but they're typically for... They try to kind of gear the programming toward families on Sunday.
Yeah, because a lot of families on Sundays.
So, you know, it's a lot of...
Yeah,
nothing wrong with animation. I love it, but it's like it's a lot of like
younger animation too. And then
and stuff.
Circled through the Nerdist/Geek & Sundry outpost called Carnival on in Petco Park.
I went there as well.
A lot like last year's, but with a theme this time. Last year's was sort of the same thing. They kind of took over one side of the park up in the bleachers and. You know, have like little fun activities and picture opportunities and stuff. It felt a little less, and this isn't a negative thing. It felt a little less branded than it did. Like it felt like Nerdist branded, but not other brands like all over the, because last year there was like an Instagram photo thing and a movie sponsored this
partners.
Thing and Samsung this thing.
Yeah.
And I think this time they were trying to hone it down to be like, this is a Nerdist thing, you know?
Right.
And it felt like that. The whole thing was set up like a camp. You kind of hung out and sat for a little while.
Yeah, I was there for a little while. I was kind of poking around. And
but they were doing custom panels too. They had their own panels that they were doing
at
the
gone,
park for free.
Honestly,
no badge.
You could have gone there all weekend.
Like Orphan Black was there, Supernatural was there.
Right.
Like all the people that were at Comic-Con and at NerdHQ were also doing completely free panels at Nerdist.
Right.
Which is crazy.
It is totally crazy. But yeah, I sat there for a while. It was all camp themes. It was called Camp Carnival. And you could kind of like, if you wanted to, you could get your card stamped, like you were getting different badges.
Yeah.
Like
and then I think they
did scouts.
Giveaways or something at the end.
Right. And you could win stuff. They had like archery set up and like some different games.
There's some lines for that stuff too. I didn't.
Yeah. I didn't. No lines, man. Just not doing it. But I thought it was neat. I love that it was it was different. Like, you know, it wasn't the most action-packed thing.
No.
But at the time when I was super tired and there was, you know, shade and air conditioning.
It was cool. They had fans, like cool as in like temperature cool. They
right.
had fans running and it was breezy and shaded.
Yeah, it was nice. And it wasn't super crowded when I was there either, so that was nice too.
They had laser tag.
They did have laser tag.
I did not do it.
And I was like, who could purposefully
My feet and legs
run,
hurt right now. Yeah.
Run in circles right now. You got to be
man. Kids
out of
can.
Your mind. So that was cool. And then after I left there, I went back down to Comic-Con HQ by the Hilton Bayfront. And watch them film a little bit more, just again to kind of relax and you know, soak up as much Comic-Con as I could before I got out of there. And it was neat, you know, it's neat to see them. I think they're doing a great job personally. I think all their live stuff is pretty damn good.
I hope the app is usable. I haven't actually opened it at all.
Yeah,
they tend to be not great on the digital side of things, but the quality of what they were shooting there and like how that was set up looked great. And I was like, man, I really hope it translates into the app, because it's like, sometimes if it's a nightmare to use, you just kind of don't want to watch everything. But we will say, I don't know to the extent of everything. They did stream all of the panels, from what I understand, or most of the panels.
Yeah, a lot of the bigger ones.
And then they, I think they're available on demand as well on this Comic-Con HQ, which is kind of, this is the first, that's a absolute first. They've never done that before.
And it's, you know, it's a, I think a small monthly sub. It's like four or $5 or something. But man,
you probably get like a month free now or something. Who
I
knows?
Think so, but I think it's great, and a lot of the hosts they're using are industry veterans, so they have like Sessler and Allison Hayslip and Malik from Nerdist. And
I think Sessler's the creative director, possibly.
He's something
or executive
big
producer
there.
Or something.
He's something big there, but anyway, I thought they were doing a great job. And then we hung out a little bit at the Hilton, and Platinum Fist on Twitter came by and said hey to us, which was awesome.
Hung out with him for a little bit.
And
that was pretty low-key Sunday.
Sundays are always like this. We probably talked more about this Sunday than any other Sunday we've recorded.
Probably.
Because not much generally happens.
So was there a moment of your con, Ash?
Wow, that's hard. I had a really good time seeing Nerf Herder just because I don't go to as many shows. I know. I don't go to as many shows as I used to, and it's always good to just be like, I'm listening to music, and it's just relaxing. So that was really cool. And I always, you know, I say this every year, but meeting people that we have on the show in person, like for the first time, and talking to them again, and that to me is the coolest thing. So when, you know, we've had a lot of past guests. Like, I talked to Ashley Eckstein and Hannah Tell and Sissy Jones and Julia Voth, and all these people have been on our podcast before, and more too that I can't recall right now. But and they came back on for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And that's just fucking cool to me. And, you know, you get to high five them and, you know, see you next year. And I think that's pretty special. So,
yeah.
How about you, man?
Wasn't the most fun panel, but just in terms of never actually being able to do it before, The Simpsons was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's such an iconic show to the point where other shows make jokes about it, you know, like Simpsons did it from South Park.
Right.
There's a constant, like, Family Guy South Park fight. They actually made a joke on the panel. They were like, oh, our 600th episode's gonna be Treehouse of Horror this year. Which is insane. Like, 600 is an absolutely insane number of shows to have done.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, unless you count Family Guy, then we're at 800. And I was like, oh, that's a good rib. Like, they make fun of other shows. Like, they're just, they were having fun the whole time with the audience and, like, totally present and not weird and not shitty. And for Matt Groening, who has literally been doing this for 20 plus years, to still engage with his fans and audience, you know, in a big room and have fun, I think is pretty special. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So that was probably it. But I agree with you, meeting everybody was really fun this year.
Yeah, it's
always
kind of
is.
Surreal too, you know. It's like you interact on social media and then sometimes you expect the in-person interaction to be weird or awkward, and it typically is not.
Yeah,
so it's typically pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So it was pretty great.
Yeah.
Different kind of con this year, I think, for multiple reasons. I think the con felt a little different, weirdly, like we talked about a little. The floor felt sort of the same, and I wasn't dying to get into like 1,000 panels, but there were a few that I was like really stoked on, and I got to, like,
right.
Like Silicon Valley and Simpsons, and like that was all really great. And then, like, you know, you've brought your child, so that was brand new and different, and just the whole was thinking about it. I think other than the 1 year that we shared with Haley, this is only the second time we haven't been in a room with you guys.
Yeah.
And it's so off-putting to not coordinate by just being like sitting on the bed on my laptop and going like, oh, she want to record? And then like, yeah, let's just do it, get it over with. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like dynamics a little different. It's just the whole thing feels, we're growing up. We're getting old.
Yeah, man. Toting around a kid is a whole nother ball of wax. But anyway, it was fun.
Yeah.
Definitely fun, and you know, it's exhausting, but it is a very special place and a special time, and I, you know, we say this every year too. You don't even really need a ticket anymore
at all now. I mean, I feel like it's become completely obsolete. Like,
I mean, it's great to be able to go to these panels, but again, you can see them all.
If you can watch the panels on Comic-Con HQ, like if you picked up the service just for this week and then canceled it immediately if you wanted to, you could watch all these panels, and then you can go to Nerdist to watch any of those panels. You can buy your way into Nerd HQ panels for donations for charity. Buy your way in sounded bad, but it's all for charity. You can do all of that, and then on top of that, they had a South Park thing out in the field that I didn't get to do this time. They had the Adult Swim Carnival was back.
Yeah,
they
Fox
had
was there with Scream Queens.
Fox was there with Scream Queens. Mr. Robot had a VR thing going on. Like,
honestly, you could go all day, every day, to do shit constantly, not get it all done, not touch the floor, and not have a ticket. Not saying that everyone should come here and further crowd the situation.
Right, yeah.
But
I do wonder, like, for, you know, they say, like, the number's somewhere near 150,000 or whatever it might be. I don't know that they really release numbers, but somewhere around there to go to the show, right, that buy tickets. I really do wonder what the number of people that descend upon San Diego is for this weekend. Like,
right.
Is it actually like 200 or 220,000 people that are showing up in the city out of nowhere? Like, the city has said it generates like millions of dollars every time Comic-Con happens this 1 week, you know.
It's crazy, man.
Crazy.
Wouldn't miss it for the world, though.
No.
So anyway, thank you guys. This is going to be episode 240, our Comic-Con special. And we'll probably do, I would like to, we're planning this right now, 241, I'd like to kind of talk about the stuff that we didn't see.
Sure.
So, you know, we'll just do a 241, kind of a double wrap up, and then we'll have all sorts of special interviews as well coming out after this episode. So we recorded a whole bunch of stuff, and we'll share that with you as well. You guys can follow us on Twitter, and that's @NerdAppropriate, Instagram /NerdAppropriate, Facebook /NerdAppropriate, Twitch TV /NerdAppropriate, and you can email us, Matt, Scott, and Ash at nerdappropriate.com, or if you have a general question, nerds@nerdappropriate.com. Thank you guys so much, and we will be back soon with more stuff.
Thanks, guys and gals.
Well, the reason I say that is I know
you live an interesting life.
Scott's going to say something. Scott's going to be like, you know, the audio from the second 2 days, it's really, there's a lot of reverb. It's really echoey. You know he's going to say that.
We'll just say the White Stripes recorded it.